This episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you get total control to watch thousands of shows wherever you want, whenever you want. Binge on full seasons and watch your favorite current shows like Community, South Park, SNL, and more. Right now, our listeners can get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus by going to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey.
Lowercase, bitches. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's that time. Oh, shit. Break out the heroin, rub your feet, take the toe jam and throw it at your wife. I don't give a fuck what you do. It's Wednesday, bitches. June 6th. Are you kidding me? Is it June 6th? No.
Yeah,
June 5th.
The 5th.
The 7th is Friday. You know I don't fuck around. You know how we do it here. Churchill, what's happening now? Crank that motherfucker, Lee. Spark that number. Get that coffee.
I hate you.
Get that oatmeal. Do some jumping jacks, you fucking dirty cocksuckers. Get up. It's a beautiful, beautiful day to be alive. You're alive. You're not in jail. You're not in fucking Cuba. You're not in fucking Korea lighting firecrackers. You're here. Where the fuck you are? The UK? Ireland? Get up. Salute. Grab that cock. Grab that pussy. Snip those fingers.
We're big in Korea.
I know we're big in Korea. Shut the fuck up, cocksucker. What's happening, Lisa? No, yeah, you little dirty bitch.
Made me like have like a mental like breakdown.
Why? What happened?
Because 30 seconds before the show starts, you're like, your mom probably has a boyfriend. Your mom's
How old is your mom now?
Her early, halfway through the century. I don't know. I don't want to say
55.
Let's right around there.
She got plenty of fucking juice left to her.
I don't want to.
She's cute, your worst. Mom, you know? I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm just trying to, it's a fucking reality. What do you want them to do? Sit at home and fucking comb their pussy? They gotta get some action too.
Oh,
mom's gotta get action too. You don't think mom's at home? How long has she been divorced from your dad?
At least probably 5 or 6 years.
You think she's trying to stab him?
No, never. She's Mary.
She's what?
She's like Mary Magdalene. No, I don't. You can't think
Mary
of
Mary Magdalene's a dirty whore. Yeah, take the reefer. Come here, cocksucker. Come here to Mary Magdalene. Why are you throwing your mom under the bus? It's a beautiful day to be alive. This little cocksucker. Great things are going on in your life. Maybe they're not going on in your life. Make them fucking go on in your life. Get up. Polish your shoes. You want your shoes polished always. Your shirt fucking ironed. You want to look good. Go get a job. Everybody talks, I don't have a job. Yeah, you fucking got a job. You. Get up. Look sharp. Hide that fucking dumb tattoo of a bird on your fucking hand, you fucking idiot. It's life out there. You got a bird tattoo. I seen some guy with a bird fucking tattoo on his hand yesterday. What are you going to do with that?
I'm surprised he didn't go over and chop it off.
I almost went over and talked to him. Like, get it together. Put a glove on like Michael Jackson or some shit. A bird. You're 22 years old. You got muscles. Unbelievable, these fucking guys.
Unbelievable.
What's going on, baby?
Nothing. I think a lot about like what we talk about during the show, because I want to have something to talk about the next time. And as everyone knows, we've been talking a lot about my dating, and I thought about like I'm really like, you make fun of me, but I fall in love immediately. Like, it's been part of my issue. So I recently started seeing this girl, and I've been not being an asshole, but I've been being assertive. Like when she said, do you want to be friends? I said no. And then yesterday, we were supposed to get together, and before I went to bed, she said she was too tired. And then when I woke up, she's like, oh, come anyways. And me, 6 months ago, would have run and not done anything I wanted to do yesterday. And I said, no, I can't. I'm busy. And it's just, and it's weird how they respond to that, and it's weird how I feel about it. Like,
you feel better.
I feel better.
Told you, Lee.
Because like, I always
You're too want, nice of a fucking guy.
I always want people to like me, especially girls. Like, but it's, and she listens, and I like her a lot. But I couldn't do it, and it's I think they respect it, and like, because normally I would have run and done it immediately, and it's a weird thing I'm trying
Did
out.
Did you see what happened last night?
What happened last
Did
night?
Did I not call you last night 2 times and tell you I was going to bring you edibles, that they were strong, and they were going to kill you and all this shit? Didn't I tell you that yesterday?
You told me that every day.
Okay, but I didn't bring you nothing. You know what? I was outside the weed store yesterday. I got some tremendous weed, did I not?
Yeah.
The problem was, when you say to me, no, I'm not going to do it, then I got to make you do it. You said to me last night, okay, I'll go eat something and I'll take the edible. Done! There's no reason. And the more you eat those edibles, Lee, the stronger you're going to get to them.
The only reason I gave you shit Monday was because you spent probably 4 days. Each time he called me, I got the death for you.
Oh,
it's,
no, was
it's 500. It's 500 milligrams. I gotta tell her to lower it.
Let me tell. I had to take a nap at 6 o'clock at night. I got up at 7 and went to fucking jujitsu Monday night. I ended up going to jujitsu as high as I was with that 500 milligrams, and I had a great fucking time. You know, Mondays and Fridays, it's Marcelo Madness, so he makes you do burpees and fucking run and makes you do push-ups a half hour before fucking class starts.
And you can do that stuff high?
Listen, I can do anything high. I can't do a fucking burpee straight or high. You know, I can't do a fucking squat thrust no more.
No.
Like, he made you run 10 times around the fucking jiu-jitsu gym. Then you had to do 15 squat thrusts, 15 push-ups, 15 sit-ups, 15 lunges, and 15 something else. I could do 15 everything else. I just couldn't do the fucking squat. Squat thrust.
Well, is your knee still fucked up?
No, it's that I weigh 300 fucking pounds. My shoulder can't carry that shit no more. You know, I used to do those burpees when I was in college. At night, I'd do a couple lines of coke and think I was fucking Herschel Walker, and I'd be doing those fucking burpees at night. But I can't do those no more. But you gotta go. You gotta fucking go. And that's all. It's really weirdly. I've been trying to write this book, and I have my partner Omar. And I send them shit every Monday. And now I'm going into this when I moved out of my mother's house. Remember the house I took you to?
Yeah, of course.
I moved out of there. Like, after my mother died, I was going to stay in there like fucking Ralph Cramden when he fought against the landlord. And I was going to go up against my dad. But the house creeped me out so much.
Yeah, because you found her there.
Yeah, I fucking left. And, you know, I'm up to this chapter that a lot of people didn't know that I never really talk about because... From doing coke all those years, people would always pick one thing. When you do coke with somebody, after about an hour, you're at their house or they're at your house, they start breaking down. The truth serum comes out. And they start telling you what really fucking bothers them, why they do coke. They don't tell you, this is why I do coke. They just tell you that sore spot in their life. When I was 3, my father hit me with a fucking shoehorn.
And they just come out bullshit. With it?
Yeah, they just start. And the more you know this person, the more they talk about that shit. But it doesn't affect them when they're jumping up and down at a fucking bar. Do you get me?
Yeah.
Like, I was with all these people. After 2 hours of doing blow, they'd stop and they'd say, you know, they break down. The pain I have from, I miss whoever, you know, I want to do so much better. After tonight, I'll never do blow again. And they hit you with that same pathetic fucking story every fucking night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the stories that I had, one of the stories I never really repeated for a long time was, and I talked about in the documentary, you know, yes, I found my mother dead, but there was more to that fucking story that I never talked about.
Okay.
My mother used to wake me up at night, every fucking night when I was a kid.
With food.
With food. Said, yeah. Every fucking night, 3:20, 3:30, she'd come in the room, I was, Antonio, wake up, I brought you Chinese food, or they would leave New Jersey in those days and go into the city and get a steak or whatever the fuck and bring it home. And then I would eat it, you know, at 4 a.m. But the constant was the 4-star diner, the diner I showed you, because they had the best BLTs. My mother loved BLTs.
Who doesn't? Mm.
Oh, they're fucking delicious. And that locale. And so she'd wake me up. And she woke me up from the time I was fucking 5. Every night I woke up for an hour, every fucking night when I was a kid, to eat. I talked to her. I make sure everything was all right, and then I go to bed. I did that for fucking 20 fucking years. I did that every night with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd talk to me high or whatever the fuck she was on, and we'd talk a little bit about her day and what she had to do the next day, and boom. So after my stepdad and her broke up, I started sleeping in her bed with her. Mm-hmm. I was scared to sleep in my room. I was always scared of that fucking bed, so that made it easy for me. She had a huge bed. So I would just crank up on the other side. My mom had like a king-size bed back then. It was made special. She fucking got it tailor-made in New York. And she liked the big fucking bed. So I slept in that bed every fucking night.
Okay, and so how old were you when you...
15.
Oh, really?
15. Wow. So I think Juan left like that that December or November. So for about 6 or 7 months... I was sleeping with my mother every night.
And were you scared when Juan was there and you just couldn't because he was there? Or when he left, you got scared?
I was always scared.
Okay.
I was always a scared little kid at night of ghosts and all that shit, especially in that fucking house. So the night that my mother died, I went out, did some acid, came home. I came home on the tail end of the acid.
Yeah.
You know, I think I did like a half a sheet or something. I had no school the next day. You know, I knew these guys didn't have the same... curfews I had.
Yeah.
I had no fucking curfew. So they would all eat like ass. So we went out, took the acid, whatever. I went home. I went to sleep. I went to bed that night. And I just remembered this because I'm writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to bed that night. And yes, when she came in that night, she yelled for me.
Oh, she did?
She did.
Okay.
Okay, for me to come down. I heard it, and I just fucking said, no, I don't want to deal with it, because then I'll wake up, and the acid's still in my system. My pupils are dilated, something. I just didn't know. I was really not knowledgeable about drugs in those days. I didn't know why I don't get up.
Okay.
And then a little while later, I saw that the light in the hallway was off, and she still wasn't in bed. So I went downstairs and found her dead on the kitchen. Now, she usually brought food home,
mm-hmm.
you know. So this was my dilemma for years. My dilemma for years, that after the ambulance left and they took her, I looked for shit. She didn't bring food home that night.
Do you think she was...
So, she was cooking eggs.
Oh, she was.
She was making eggs when she got home. She was at the track, Roosevelt Raceway. They were open till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then she probably hung out at a bar in the city with her buddies, and then she came over. She would take a cab over. I didn't hear none of this. But I do know that there was no food that night. So for years, I didn't know if she was yelling because she was dying and I didn't help her.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask you.
So I never knew. Now, I never talked about it. I'm never, right? On all the time, you and I?
No.
Because I know for a fact that when it's your time, it's your time. If I would have gone downstairs, what would have happened?
Now, did you know that, I mean, so you were 15, so that's been 35 years. You didn't know that at the beginning, because like, even just thinking about it, that's all I'm thinking about is like, do you wonder if
no,
she
I
was...
knew that. I knew that that so you, night. I knew that that morning.
So you know, you didn't feel guilty at all? I'm not saying it was your fault, but it's
I
like...
I felt a little guilty, and I could have been one of those people. Oh, my God, did I tell you that because of me, my mother died? No, she didn't. God has a fucking plan for you, and you can't control. Nobody has a fucking expiration date. Nobody knows when you're going to fucking expire. You could be Houdini, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could have walked down there, and she would have still died. Mm-hmm. You know? What could have happened? And that's always been a doubt in my head. I've always taken care of it. I took care of it 2 years later. I wasn't going to be one of those people that every time you got high or every time you met somebody 10 minutes into the conversation, they were going to tell you that, and fucking idiot people, oh my God, I feel so sorry. Let me give you a hug. It was 20 years ago. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it, cocksucker. You know? Because people always have that hook to suck you the fuck in with.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to have that hook, so I never really thought about it. Because when God's going to take you, he's going to fucking take you.
And you don't think, like, because you just said people always have a reason for doing coke. You don't think, like, that could have been a reason for doing coke?
No, I was on my way to destruction way before that fucking day.
Okay.
You know, I had already done blow. It just wasn't big. I had already done blow. By the time my mother died, I had done coke once or maybe twice. About 2 weeks before she died, we all played hooky.
Mm-hmm.
And I took some to school. And we did a bunch at a party. And a lot of people were mad. A lot of kids were fucking pissed. And
mm-hmm.
But, you know.
But do you think you did it for 29 more years because she passed away? Like, if she was here today, do you think your life would have gone around the same path?
No, I would have been even worse.
You would have been worse?
Yeah, because I was a mama's boy. I was soft.
What do you think would have happened that would have been worse? I mean,
I would have got hooked on drugs. I would have gotten in trouble. Somebody would have left drugs at the house with
you
my
did
mother.
Get in trouble.
No, I would have gotten in trouble worse. I would have got my mother in trouble. We would have probably ended up in a fucking apartment. You know, my mother was on her way down when she died. It wasn't one of the best things that could have happened to her. You know, she was a fucking pathetic gambler.
Yeah, you said she had lost the bar by then. And
so it was just going to get worse. And I would have just got worse. Listen, in my eyes, I didn't amount to nothing. I'm a fucking comedian that tells stories and tells jokes. And that's great for society and whatnot. It's not as important that we're doctors and great lawyers and engineers and
yeah, but not everyone can be a lawyer.
Yeah, but you know what? You got to go to school and you don't understand the plans my mother had for me. You don't understand the plans and the goals I had for myself. You know, I wanted to wear a suit, even though I look like a fat fuck in a suit. You know, I wanted to represent criminals in court or something to do with the law. That's what I wanted. You know, that's what I wanted in my soul. It just didn't work out that way. I went to plan B. Thank God I was always outgoing. And I didn't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, like I said, I'm writing this book, and it's just really weird the things you remember as you're writing. Because I usually look at what I'm going to write, and then I leave for a day, and I make notes when I go to the coffee shop to write, you know?
Okay.
And then I think about it, and it's really weird when I wrote that particular thing because it took me back there. Like last night, I had to take a shower and get out of the house.
That's yeah, you called me, and you said, I'm not even doing a set. I just had to get out of the house.
Yeah, I just had to get out of the fucking house. I took a shower, started from scratch, washed my pussy. At 10 o'clock, I left the house last night. Went to the bank, took some money out.
I can't believe, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but the fact that you're saying, like, you would have been, like, to me, the like, you went to jail for 3 years for kidnapping a guy with a machine gun, and you're like, that was the light. Like, it could have been so much worse.
Could have been worse.
That's fucking... It
could have been worse.
I don't know if it's the weed, but my brain, like, I can't even, like, can't even understand that.
You have no idea what things could happen in life. You have no idea what bad things could happen in your life. Last night, I was, after I called Joe, I went home and I was writing. And I put ice on my knees at night before I go to bed. I forced myself to get up from the computer and go in front of the TV. And I watch the news, or I'll watch whatever that's stupid. But last night there was a gangster show on about a Dominican moya that was killing drug dealers in the Bronx. Okay? Taking drug dealers and killing them. Just fucking killing them, taking their money.
Because he didn't like drug dealers? Or
nah, because he was a thief. That's, oh, okay. That's what he preyed on. That was his scam.
Okay.
Other drug dealers, they can't dial 911.
Oh, man.
And I'm fucking sitting there, and I got my things on my knees, and I got a cat, and I'm petting the cat. And I'm sitting there, and they're showing all these images of people in these alleyways with blood on them and, you know, getting shot. What the fuck? You have no idea the places I would go to get drugs, Lee. You had no idea the people I dealt with that... I didn't know were killers till years later. I found out they're doing 30 for this, or they're doing 20. I didn't know. And I would take their coke, or you know how many times I kicked the fucking door down and people were sitting the way you and Ashley and your friends sit in the living room? You know how many times we kicked the door down, me and Rago, and there was three people in the living room, and we pulled guns out? One time I had no bullets in that fucking gun. Did you know that?
You pulled guns out and you
and tried to rob.
I mean, like I know you. I know you jumped up on windows and stuff, but you went in when people were there.
Oh no! In '94, after I got divorced, I was in a real fucking craziness. I needed money. $300-$400 wasn't going to do it. I was having problems with attorneys, with my ex-wife, the baby. I thought it was the end all be all. I didn't fucking know. And when you put me against a wall, when I don't know something, when you put me against the corner, you give me a gun, I will do. And, you know, Joey's called. Joey's called the fucking show. I've had Joey called a couple fucking times. A couple people got scared. A couple people fucking wrote me back. There's two guests I've had that fucking people have emailed me and said, you're fucking crazy. And that was Mike Running when he told the story throwing the hooker out of the car and you heard the boop, 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 boop. And fucking Joey Filato. Yeah. When Joey Filato knew in 94, he had a cousin that was crazy. And I loved his cousin. His cousin loved me. I didn't give a fuck how crazy he was. But you know what? He was a criminal that respected me as a criminal, but he loved that I did comedy. Like, he died, Darren. But if Darren was alive today, he'd be out here with me. I know it. I fucking know it. Smacking people, choking motherfuckers, grabbing me spots, smacking agents, getting me more trouble than I've had on my own.
But, so, how do you know? Do you get paranoid after you break into someone's house? Like, that they're going to come, the cops are going to come knocking on your door, or they're going to come knocking on your door?
Like, oh my God. Are you going to bump into them?
How do you leave the house? Like, I would imagine, like, drive-by. It's like, I only know this from movies, so I don't even know what's real or not.
But anyway, but the point of the story was that could have been me. That could have been me.
How was it not you?
Busting the door down and somebody pulling the fucking gun. Somebody stupid pulling the fucking gun. I fucking know this. You know, I was telling James when he was here this weekend that I never thought about being 40. I knew that I was going to turn 37 in the year 2000.
Okay.
That's one thing I knew for sure. And I knew I could look you in the face, Lee, and tell you I never fucking thought I was going to see the year 2000. That seemed to me, in 1985, the year 2000 seemed like sci-fi fucking network to me. Like something I was never going to worry about or never going to see. You know, it's funny how I used to throw shit out the window.
What do you mean?
Food and fucking garbage as I'm driving in a car.
Okay.
I was a complete fucking savage. I had no respect. The biggest respect you can't have. Oh, you don't want to respect yourself, that's great, but you got to respect the fucking earth. People who throw shit in the fucking ocean and people who throw shit. That's great. You want to be a fucking pig and throw sandwich wrappers on your floor and live in fucking filth. That's your fucking business. But when you start polluting the fucking streets and shit, that means you have no respect for yourself and no respect for the fucking future. You know, the people that are coming in behind you. It's like leaving dishes in the fucking sink when you live with eight people. Clean your fucking dishes because there's people behind you. I used to fucking be a polluter.
No, that was what I was going
to
ask.
Until about 1997, I used to be a fucking polluter. Mm-hmm. Because I never thought that it would... Who gives a fuck about the year 2013? It's like when they tell you now you can't take showers because we're running out of fucking water. 10 years ago, I would leave the fucking water on all day on principle. Just on principle. I can't do that no more. You know, I can't do that no more. I haven't been thought like that in about 12 or 13 years. So I could see how I evolved. I could see why I wanted to get these. I'm going back to me, what I used to be like when I was 10 again.
Now, let's say, I don't know what age, like when you were my age and you said you couldn't imagine getting to 2000.
Yeah, 24? No fucking way.
But did you actively think, like, I'm never going to get to 37, or you just didn't?
No.
You didn't even cross your mind?
I never thought I'd be 37 at all. Never even fucking close. Never even close. Never even close. And then when I came out here, it's so funny that being a loser sometimes is advantageous.
In what way?
Being a loser, because I was a loser for a long time. And when I came here, you know, sometimes you're like my jiu-jitsu teacher, anybody who's been doing something for a long time. I really had a good time talking to this Fabiano, whatever his fucking name is, last week, right? And he was saying how he was a white belt for 2 years, he was a blue belt for 7 fucking years, he was a purple belt for 2 or something years, and he was a brown belt for 2. It took him, I don't know how many years, to become a black belt. But he goes, basically, he became a black belt because he didn't do anything else. I basically got to this point in my life, not because I was innovative, but because I couldn't leave L.A. I had nowhere else to go. You know what I'm saying? So what was I going to do? Just sit here at night and hang out at night? I might as well do 3-4 spots a night and write a few fucking jokes. So sometimes being a loser has its advantages.
I guess that's a good way of looking at it.
Because you're like a fucking dummy, like me.
Yeah.
You just kept sticking with something. You know, I stuck with it. You know, I stuck with being a stand-up, and I love it. I love it. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I don't want to do nothing else. Yeah, I'd like to be an attorney. Yeah, I'd like to be a brick mason. Yeah, I like to do a lot of fucking things. I had a lot of dreams. I'd like to be a guitar player in a band.
You're like a little kid again.
Spit
like,
on chicks, you know.
I'm going to be a firefighter. I'm going to be a lawyer.
Yeah, I don't want to be a fucking firefighter. You got to cut people off with a light and shit. That's scary, being a fucking firefighter. What's the story, Lee? What's going on in your world? Tell me something fucking good. You haven't been swimming for a week. You lost.
I haven't swum, no.
Today it starts again.
Okay.
And every day, 10-20 minutes, you're going to feel a lot better about yourself. You know, I do that little thing with the baby with just walking. Just walking. You know, I read that. Did you see about the guy who lost 200 pounds by walking?
No.
He would give himself walking drills. And he said the first day he went, he was a pelvis. He thought he was going to get a heart attack. It's so fucking real. Like, I didn't work out because James was in town. I didn't work out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And fucking Monday, I couldn't wait for jiu-jitsu at 11 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, at 9, 8 o'clock. My body had to do something. So I went Monday afternoon to the YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
And my knee's been bothering me, so I got on the bicycle. I got on the one bicycle for 20.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got on the long range bicycle for 10. Then I got on the elliptical machine, right?
Yeah.
And I start doing the elliptical machine. I start sweating heavy. Don't work out for 3 days and then work out. And that first dose of sweat smelled like everything we ate. Smelled like fucking steaks and tacos and avocado and fucking soda. Like that thick. If you don't sweat for 3 or 4 days, your sweat, the first group of sweat comes out a lot thicker. It smells like weed and that brownie and fucking, it just smelled so bad. When I got home, I hung the shirt up.
Yeah.
Because I never just throw the shirt in the hamper, because then the whole hamper stinks. You put moisture in there. So I hang the shirt up. I went to take it Monday night. It was dry, but it was hard. It was like a hard fucking t-shirt from the fat and the fucking Gorilla Biscuits and everything else I had in my fucking system. So it's just so, it's so weird that we talk about health on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because I love it. I love it. And you look at me and you're like, but Joey, you're a fat fuck. So what? I still drink tons of fucking water every day. Tons of fucking water every day. This morning I got up and I love doing that Dolce system. It's so weird how I take a couple things from Weight Watchers. I can't take a couple things from Dolce. I can't eat that Dolce food. I love his concept. I know what he's fucking saying. Mm-hmm. Even with the deadlifting. I just don't like quinoa.
Oh, yeah,
quinoa, I can't fucking eat quinoa. Whatever the fuck it is. Quinoa, quinoa. I don't like that shit. Where's the music, Lee? You're going to hit me with little fucking Eagles this morning? We never play the Eagles on here. This is a bad fucking jam right here. Oh, shit. This is Don Feld on the fucking guitar. This is old school. It's like 75 and shit. Oh, shit. It's time to spark another joint. Get up, cocksuckers. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Shine your shoe. Hit it. Oh, Shitley. Oh, Shitley.
I need to install like a little fader here for the lights.
This is Lee's song. We're gonna find that pretty mama. What turns on? Oh, Shitley. Time to spark another one. Get over here, cocksucker. You got your demons. You got desires. And I got a few of my own, cocksucker. Oh, shit. It's a beautiful day. Get up. Get it together. Wash that ass. Wash that pussy. Shave it. Who wants to go out there? Make a good impression. My girl should be calling any minute now.
All right. I got it ready.
Ooh.
You know what I listened to this morning before you got here?
What'd you listen to?
I listened to Rumors. Which I listened to. You showed me about the first time. It's a great album.
Great album. 1977. I was in the 8th fucking grade. And Claudia Costa used to play it. Claudia Costa was a cute girl. But she had those fucking things. Those warts.
Okay.
All over. But she was on Letterman for playing the fucking the baton. She was like a national baton twirler.
How do you play the baton?
Like that. With your fingers. With your fingers. That's what you do with your fingers if you want to finger bang people tough. You played it with the fucking batons. Calvin Murphy was a basketball player from the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Tough little motherfucker, 5'8", smacks him, must beat the fuck out of Sidney Wicks. Bad motherfucker, grabbed him by the afro, brought him, he was 6'8", Sidney Wicks, brought him down to his level, just started pit slapping. Calvin Murphy just got acquitted of child molestation in Houston. When I went down there, and the city took his side like it was a lie.
Okay.
And the woman just accused him of sex. I don't know what the fucking story was. I'm a big fan of Calvin Murphy's. There used to be a show on. There still is, the NBA on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking show, at halftime, Red Auerbach, the legend from the Celtics, would come on, and every week a different person would come on and teach you drills.
Okay.
On basketball. Julius Erving fucking taught a drill, but one of the best ones was Calvin Murphy. Because he opened up the show twirling a baton, and then he talked about how it affected your hands, like your hand speed and shit. So for years after that, you see these big black guys in Harlem twirling a motherfucking baton, Jack.
You must have done it, because you loved it. You must have got a baton. Mm-mm. You didn't get a baton?
I got new chucks. I got new chucks and just cut the string and twirled the one fucking new chuck. That's good for your fingers. If you're going to finger bang somebody, you might knock their fucking ovary out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
You finger bang any of these chicks you date, Lee? You fucking...
Yeah. All right. The only thing I don't like is assholes. Just leave... Like, everything else is
Did
great.
Did somebody send you a picture of an asshole?
Oh, there's a guy, and he just sent... I don't know who got the picture of it, but... And one guy said it would look like the... You probably don't know what, but the pit in Star Wars. Like, it looked like that. Oh, we got a call, but it was a... It was clean, but yeah, I'm still not into it.
Is this my girl?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Madison. How are you, my love?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. I thank you very much for getting up early and calling in.
I'm up.
I know you run. I know you got a family and stuff.
The usual.
What time do you usually get up, Madison?
Hmm?
What time do you usually get up?
I'm usually up between 6 and 6:30.
All right, so we're good. You're good. You got some coffee in you. You did a couple jumping jacks like Lee Syatt. All right. What's going on in your world?
Just usual work, kids. We're preparing for a move. So.
Where are you moving to?
Just from North Hollywood to Glendale.
Okay, that's not that bad. I thought you were going to leave me here at the Y all by myself.
No, it's just we're moving. I'm moving closer to the kids' school.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me ask you something. So, how long have you been involved with yoga, Madison?
Well, I've been teaching it since 2003, but I have been practicing it for a few years before I went into teacher training.
And how long is the teacher training for?
Wait, are we talking or are we on podcast?
We're on a podcast. You and me are talking.
Oh.
And the flying Jews in the room. And my man's in the room. Lee Syatt's in the room.
Hi.
Hi.
No, we're doing a podcast. We're on. We're live.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that we were on right now.
Yeah. We're not playing okay. No more. How are you, my love?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, before I went into teacher training, I went, people had mentioned to me before, oh, you should try yoga. I was in Southern California, and I just went, oh, no, I don't want to do yoga. Oh, no, that's for hippies. I don't want to do yoga. And then I met a boy. And I really, really liked him, and he was into yoga. So that's how I got into the yoga practice, was following a cute boy into class one day.
And how long is the teacher training after that?
The teacher training that I went through, it was a long time ago. It was 10 years ago, so I may not be exact. But I think we did it for almost 6 months, I think. Well, not 6 months, maybe four months. We went every weekend. It was a Friday, some Friday nights, every Saturday and Sunday. And then after the teacher training, back when I was doing it, you had to come out and follow a senior teacher for 6 months to a year. So you would come in and assist in their classrooms or sit in the class or take the class, and then that senior teacher would hold meetings maybe at their discretion, and whoever was in that training would go, and then we'd talk about what happened in class, why we gave an adjustment, why she or he gave a certain a posture that followed another posture, or questions about that other students had while they were in the classroom that came up. So it was very hands-on back when I went through teacher training.
And do you still go to class? Like, do you still attend the class and while somebody else is teaching?
Absolutely. I love to take other people's classes. I also am in fitness as well. And I do personal training, and I also teach yoga privately. And what I say often is, even trainers need trainers, because as someone who's standing outside of you, I mean, alignment-wise, we can see what's happening with your body, but it's very difficult for you to see what's happening with your body. So it's the same for people who teach. It's difficult to see what's happening on the outside, because you get focused, you get locked into what's happening on the inside and how it feels, and you don't know. Maybe you've been sitting on your right hip a lot for the last 4, 5, 6 months, and it feels normal for your hip to be over to the right, and then someone comes along and they readjust you, and it may not feel right, but the alignment is right.
Now, how, I read a lot about yoga. You know, I went to your class for a long time. And one of the real advantages, like, I felt I got really stronger. I got really limber. My breathing got a lot better, you know. But what are the true advantages that you see? Especially, I see women that have been doing it for a while, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful. I see, I look at these women in class, and, you know, I'm married, but you watch, and you go, wow, look at this woman. You know, what does she do? It's amazing.
Sometimes it's, when you connect, exercise is exercise, right? People come to me, and they go, oh, I want to lose weight, or I want to build the big muscles. And my question is always, well, how long is your time frame? Because in yoga, the time frame is years sometimes. It's not 2 weeks, 30 days, 90 days. It really is a long process. And if you want to, lose weight right away, go do cardio, go on the elliptical, go take a boot camp class, go, you know, run. That's the fastest way to get to your goal. For me, what you look on the outside can be a benefit of a yoga practice, but how you feel on the inside is really what's the most important part of a yoga practice. It's not even doing the postures correctly, and it's not making it look beautiful. It's about how you feel while you're in your practice. And I think that sometimes can bring an energy around a person that is a very that's very light and very calm and very and bright. So it's a different. It's true when you see people who are, you know, straight gym and muscle guys, and not true of everyone, but you know, they're working real hard and they got this goal, and they have a very different expression on their face. You know, they're hard and their bodies are hard and they're big. And then you have someone who comes out of yoga, and it was one of the things I love about yoga is shavasana at the end, when everyone lays down and you're still. And you're sometimes you're just so thankful that you're not moving anymore, and it feels good. But when people leave the room, they feel good, and that's one of the most important parts of the practice, or one of the most important parts of the practice I enjoy is when that happens.
Oh, you're a great teacher. You know, as a stand-up comic, I learned a lot from watching you sometimes. Do you know that? Like, I would go in there and watch you and go, do you have fear of getting up in front of people? You know, how sometimes you'd be in a pose and you'd walk over to me, or you'd walk over to a girl and help her out or something. How do you feel talking in front of people?
That's something I struggled with in the beginning, because I am a naturally very shy person. Although you wouldn't think so, but it's something I used to struggle with a lot. And it just, when I stopped thinking about how I felt being in front of the room, and I started thinking about the individual students in the classroom, and started focusing on them, a lot of the times, I'll come in to start a class, and I'll have something kind of mapped out that I was going to do that day, and then I'd end up doing something completely different, and not even close to what I had intended for the class. And that's purely based on who is in the classroom, because teaching a class is not about, it's not about me and what I want out of that class. It's about who's in the class, and what's in the need of in the room. And so it's that helped me to overcome my fear of speaking in front of the room or leading a class. It was being able to kind of see who's in the room and what they need, and bring that into the practice. It made it more joyful to teach that way.
That's beautiful, Madison. I never looked at it that way. I'm going to start looking at an audience that way. Like, what the hell do these people need?
I don't know if that works in your
field. That really does. That's beautiful. I never thought about it that way. Because sometimes with me, you got to get up there, and they look at you, and they make... in their mind, they judge you. You judge within the first 30 seconds. Oh, I know what this guy's going to say. So if you don't take them in that direction, then you just have to beat them, like, submersively. Like, sometimes you have to, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's so weird, but that is just beautiful. And I can just imagine, like, sometimes you go in thinking it's going to be 15 people in the class, and you go in and there's 4 people.
Right.
So everything changes. That's how it changes in my world. Like, on a Tuesday night, I'll write a new joke, and I have my intention of just trying that joke, and I'll get to the place, and I thought there was going to be 190 people, and there's 4 people. So you can't go up there and try that joke. You got to do it a different way, you know, so.
Yeah. It's very, yes, I could see it that way, sure.
It's amazing how I had to go to an audition one time, and you're an actress, you understand this. I had to go to an audition one day, and the feedback I got on the initial audition was, the guy I was going in for was a thug. And they said, you went in too hard, soften it up. And it just so happens that the audition was 11:45, and you had a class that morning from 8:30 to 10:30. And I said, I'm going down there, because, you know, she'll soften me up a little bit with the poses, and I'll breathe. And I went into the audition, and I got it. I nailed it. But it was funny, on the way out, I thought about that, how when I left yoga that morning, when I walked in, I felt a certain way, but when I walked out, I felt a certain way. And I made myself feel that way. It was really weird. I had never done that before. Like, if you go hit the bag and ride the bike, you have these things on your thought, on your mind. But with that day, by going to yoga and just breathing, it softened everything up.
Yes. Well, congratulations. I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that.
Oh, before, this is like 2 years ago. It didn't. Oh. Oh, yeah, it was a while ago. Because I used to, I think I used to take your Thursday morning class.
Yeah.
Right? Your Thursday morning at the Y. And now you just have the Thursday, right?
Yes.
And are you teaching somewhere else?
Well, right now I teach at the Y. I just have one class at East Valley. And then I teach privately. I'd like to get into going back into studios. And I did approach some of the studios before. I had held a lot more classes before I had children. I had the freedom to be available more often and frequently, and as I subbed for many people, and I had more of my own classes. But after having my children, it just my focus changed from to them. And I did teach with them for a while, taught Mommy and Me classes together and baby yoga, and but I went back into some of the studios recently to, and it kind of brought you back to, well, you got to get back on the sub list. You've got to, you know, be at mercy of someone else's schedule and availability. And I'm a single mother now, so that's not, quite often it's not realistic for me. I need as much financial structure in my life as my children need stability and structure in their lives. So I'd love to expand, but it has been difficult to do that. Also, now there's a lot of yoga teachers out there, and it just has become a little bit of very young yoga teachers out. And I'm not just talking about young in age, but young in yoga experience. But because they are young and because they're new to this world of instructing, they're a lot easier to get at a much lower rate, and it makes perfect business sense for studios to take those teachers first.
You know, if you drive up and down Magnolia, what do you count, 18 yoga studios?
There's a lot. And
there's a lot from Laurel Canyon on Magnolia.
There are teachers and studios, and I attend, you know, all classes everywhere, because I do. I love it especially when I walk into a room and someone really knows their alignment and things like that to help, you know, put me back into my beginnings. Every time I walk into someone else's classroom, I try to walk in with that idea that this is new. It's my first time, and let go of anything that I've to let go of the teacher and really be the student. That can be challenging sometimes.
You know, Madison, I take the baby on a walk every morning. I walk around that North Hollywood Park, and I've been seeing something lately. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing in the last, because I've lived up by the park for the last 3 years. So,
yeah, the big, beautiful park off of across from the Y?
Yeah, that one there in the mornings. I usually walk with the baby till about 9:30, and then I go home. And it's so weird what I'm watching there. I'm seeing that more people, like there's a boxing class now across the street. A boxing class. And the guy hangs a bag in the park. He walks the 90-pound bag into the park and hangs it. And he's got cones in there and a little ring. And he takes each guy and he runs with them. And while the other guy's boxing, the other guy's shadow boxing, the other guy's on the floor. And I tell you something, Mason, I would stop over and give the guy whatever he wants just to do. I have the baby. You know, I have the baby, but it's kind of nice. Mason, you're a great teacher. I've been to a couple of yoga. I've never been to any other studio but Hollywood YMCA. And that's a little bit too, you know, whatever for me. It was a little bit
too
clicky.
They're very focused on the flow. They like to really move.
But they're focused on the other stuff, the Hollywood stuff. I like real people, it seems, for yoga. And you're as real as it gets. And it's so weird. Like, you're a very good teacher, Madison. And you're good
Thank
with
you.
People.
Thank you, Joey. That means a lot.
Yeah, take it into the park. I mean, I know you're a single mom now, and that breaks my heart.
I did consider that, but one of the things that, for me, is I follow the rules.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I follow the rules, so I did look into it, and there's a lot of rules that people break to do things like that. And, you know, I don't like to do that. If the city says, no, you're not supposed to be doing that, it's not okay. You need to pay rent. You need to do your insurance. You need to. You can only work. I'm one of those people who goes, okay, just let me know what the rules are, and I'll see if I can.
No, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want you to break any rules either. But you know what? There's rules, and like you said, you're a single mom. You got to eat, and you got to
So
there's rules.
I don't want to end up with a big fat fine or end up going to court over not following the rules.
But, you know, there's a will's a way. And like I said, you're great at what you do. I wouldn't have you on the phone if I didn't think you were really. My wife loves you to death. I mean, I think you're great. And
oh, my gosh. How is she doing? I haven't seen her in a while. So I know you said she's busy. She's got back to work. And you got to have your hands full with your beautiful little baby.
Well, it's tough, especially she wanted to go back to work. She wants to go back because she sees a promotion in 2 years. And what has she worked there for 10 years? So. It's about that, but it takes away from her yoga time, and I told her to cut back to like 30 hours or whatever, but it's like talking to, so she goes Saturday mornings is the best she could do, and that's when I'm in town, you know?
Yes.
So I'm in town this week, and then that's it. I'm gone for 4 weeks, so that means she doesn't work out. Yeah, but I'm only gone Fridays and Saturdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
So I'm around the rest of the time. So, you know, listen, man, I want you to call in again and let us know where you're at, if you checked into a studio or something, because you're great at what you do. And, you know, talk to these people.
Well, if people want to come check it out, you should support your local YMCA, East Valley. It's one of the things I love about at the YMCA is it's really about, it's family.
I love it. I love it there.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of the reasons why I continue to teach. I continue there. I keep teaching at the, even with the move, I want to make the drive because I really the class that we have on Thursdays is a very special class to me and people who come and I've know people over the years and you get to really become family and I haven't gotten that too much anywhere else or teaching many other classes outside of yoga in that way there's this connection and it is a special class. Everyone in the class is very they all know each other and they take care of each other, and I watch people in class take care of new students who come in when I can't get to them. It's a very special group of people. So I'm honored to be teaching.
You know, it's funny how I started at the Y in Hollywood. And I don't know if you've been to the Y in Hollywood. They do everything there but rub your feet. You know, they've got the bubble bath. They got the steam bath. They've got the showers.
It's the Hollywood YMCA spa.
Yeah, it's a spa. They have the towels. They have the shaving cream. And I remember the first time I went to NoHo, to East Valley, I went there with no towel and jumped in the pool. And I came out of the pool and I'm like, where's the towels? And I'm drying myself with paper towels. And it's such a working man's YMCA. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
You go outside. Like, I like to ride the bike outside and I hit the punching bag. The punching bag breaks like once a month. It's a working man's Y. Then you have to switch your workout and beat up on Ted, the little striking dummy. And if he's jacked up, if he's not filled up with water, then I got to do squats. It's such a great little Y. It really is. I love it. I won't go anywhere else. You know, there's like a 48-hour fitness or something around the corner, whatever the hell that is. And my buddy's like, I got a pass. It's 40 a month. You could swim. I'd rather stay at the North Hollywood Y. I really do. I love it.
Yeah, it is. It really has become a family. Now that you have a little girl, you know, you'll appreciate it more because it is. It's very much about family. It's one of the things I love about the YMCA. It's difficult to give up for that reason. When you have a family, it's very, very difficult to give up the Y.
I'm scared to drop her off in a little babysitting box still. She might throw a fit, and I'm in the middle of a downward dog huffing and puffing, and I got to run over there and save the kid. I'll have a heart attack.
Oh, she's not old enough for that yet.
No, she's going to be 5 on Sunday, 5 months old. So I don't think I could drop her off. You have a question for her, Lee?
Yeah. Hey, Madison, my name is Lee. I produce, but the question I was thinking about is, because you already know Joey, and he's a big guy, and I've lost some weight, but I'm still a big guy. And Joey makes fun of me because I have the flattest feet in the world, and I have no balance. And we have a bunch of listeners who are health conscious. What do you say to people who haven't done yoga before? Like, should you do private lessons first, or what do you? Because like I'd fall over if I was sitting down. So yoga is something I've never thought of doing before.
Don't be afraid to get it wrong. That would be, when I have new students who come in and they say, I've never taken yoga, I'm not sure what I'm doing, I say, don't worry about it, it's okay, you're going to get everything wrong today. You're not going to get anything right, not even standing, so don't worry about it. And you can, if you just were standing and you were doing the posture, the standing posture correctly and breathing properly, you could build up a sweat in 30 seconds, beads of sweat on your forehead. And if you were doing the posture correctly, and someone who's been taking yoga for 15 years who just does the postures wouldn't understand that. They would think, standing posture, that's nothing. Get me into a place where I can twist my ankles behind my head. I always remember that one of the things that yoga did for me in the first year of teaching, I was instructed by my teachers, I could not teach anything above special needs and injuries and level one. And, you know, having a big ego and being, young, I wanted to come out and be the big rock star teacher and teach all the power flow classes and, show everybody that I could, throw my leg up in the air and hold it there forever. What I appreciate about what those teachers did for me is they brought me into a place of being extremely humble, because my first classes I ever taught, I remember this, was I had a lady in the room who had vertigo, a couple of people who had knee surgeries recently, a gentleman who had had heart surgery, a woman who had a shoulder that popped in and out of her socket every time she took her arms up above her head. And they were all in the same classroom. And how do you teach to this room where when you think of yoga, you see this flow, down dog, cobra, standing forward fold, dancer's pose, tree pose, and most everybody in that room, no one would be able to do that. And yoga isn't all those postures. It's really, when you go into a classroom for your first time, go to the middle back so that you have people in front of you, on the sides of you, and maybe a person behind you if you can. And so you can look and see what other people are doing. Not that you should do what they're doing, but you'll get an idea when the teacher says triangle pose. You can just look to your left and there's someone there and they're doing the posture. You go into the other side, you can look to your right and you see there's someone who's there who's doing the posture. And you kind of start to get this picture of, okay, what space your body's going to be in, but know that it doesn't have to look like what that person's doing or what that person's doing. And it takes, try it for 30 days before you give it up. And like finding a good therapist, you might have to try a few before you find someone that you connect with. Because that makes a really big difference, too. I know some teachers teach in a fashion where they start each class with a very personal story about their lives and how what they're going to teach in that class that day is going to reflect on what their story is. And they will carry you through the postures, and you'll get into a hip opener, and that will be a part of their story and something that they realized. And they'll take you to handstand, and that will be another part of their story. So they create this storyline. And for some people, they connect immediately to it. They go, oh, man, I've been through a breakup recently, and I understand how that feels, and I really connect to that story. And they go through class and they connect to all the points of the story and they come out feeling very healed from that class. And for other people, they'll come in and go, I have a great relationship. I'm in a good place right now. I don't want to hear this story. It ruined what I got going on. And they don't connect to anything. So you have to... Usually within the first one or two classes, you'll know if you connect to who's teaching the class as well.
Now,
some people, yes.
Oh, sorry. There's different kinds of yoga. Like my dad for years did the hot yoga Bikram, and I went like two or three times, yeah. And I hated it because I didn't know the yoga, and then also it was 800 degrees. Like, do you have a class that not everyone lives in North Hollywood, but if you had a class that anyone could go to, like any normal yoga studio and like look for, like what do you recommend if it's like your first time?
I would start with like hatha class.
Hatha, H-O-S-T-A?
H-A-T-H-A.
H-A-T-H-A, hatha.
Okay.
And the thing is about it is it's in hatha level one. I would start with a hatha level one. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but there's a better chance that it would be easy. But if you can, and almost every studio offers it, is go to their free intro to yoga.
Oh, okay.
One of the things that I find is that although a lot of teachers may talk about breathing and deep breathing and things like that throughout their class, sometimes what they don't do is they don't teach you how to do the ujjayi breath, which is yoga. Without breath-centered work, yoga postures are purely for exercise, just to make the body flexible and strong. When you add the breath work, you add a different, what I feel is the element that is outside of the world of exercise. Like you can lift weights and you don't do yoga breath. You have to do a different kind of breath just for that exercise to move the weights around. You have to do a different kind of breathing for running, a different kind of breathing for swimming, So in yoga, it's really the foundation of the practice, even more than the postures, more than being able to, you know, do down dog and do triangle pose, is breathing. And if that's all you did throughout let's say you started the class, you kind of got the breathing down, you started some postures, it didn't work for you. If you just sat and did deep breathing for the next 40 minutes of class, That's a great practice. It's a beautiful practice. if that's all you ended, if you were just on your back with your knees bent and your feet on the floor and all you did was breathe, that would be an amazing practice. But you have to be able to let go of your fear of people judging you. Well, why is that person on the floor? Why aren't they doing anything? Why are they just breathing? What's wrong with them? Is there? You have to be able to let go of that fear of someone judging you for doing that. And that can be one of the most difficult things to overcome, is that you're doing it wrong and everybody else is going to know it.
That's fucking beautiful. That was beautiful, Madison.
Okay.
You broke it down.
If you would like, I'd love to come back and tell you guys some stories, because being an instructor, there's a lot of very interesting yoga stories.
You're so sweet, Madison. It kills me.
I've seen it all.
You're a sweetheart, Madison. So you just have Thursday mornings now. That's it?
This time in the morning, it works. On Mondays, I was training a group of ladies, but they've taken the summer off.
Okay.
So any time in Monday through Friday at this time is great. Okay. And I really appreciate you. Thank you for bringing me on. How do I find you? I just go in and it'll be archived, right?
Yeah, you go to the Church of What's Happening Now on iTunes. And how can we find you? That's the main thing. How can we find you?
Well, you could, in the next couple of weeks, you should be able to find me at Train with Madison.
Okay.
.com? And, okay. Yes.
All right, when you get it up and gone, we'll bring you back and you tell us some yoga stories, all right?
Okay.
I love you, Madison, and I'm happy that you're doing your thing.
And take care of your beautiful family.
All right, you too, all
right? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, thank you.
Bye, my love.
Bye.
She's great.
She is the sweetest lady in America, and I feel bad that she's a single mom now.
And I almost don't want to say it because it sounds creepy, but I just... Is she really pretty? She sounds like...
Dynamite.
Like
a pretty, tremendous. Tremendous.
Like some people pretty. Have that voice and you're like, oh.
Yeah, tremendously a knockout. She's a knockout. A walking knockout. But it's not her looks in this situation. It's what she brings to you. She's so free.
She sounds like the perfect yoga teacher.
Yeah,
like so
she's,
nice. And
she's great. When you go to... You know, I go to the YMCA, guys. What do you want me to do? Go to Crunch and drop $2,000 a fucking month for the same shit I'm going to get in the fucking Y? I'm a fat fuck. They don't have... You know, those are the gyms. So people, it's a social thing. For me, I don't want to talk to nobody at the fucking Y. But that Y is so... Both Ys. Even the Hollywood Y. I just went to Sacramento and saw the desk clerk girl on the plane. We sat together. We talked. I love what the YMCA brought into my life. I love it. I love it. And if you can't, a lot of people can't even, I tell that story on sets that I go to the Y in Hollywood and North Hollywood, and people look at me like you're a fucking loser. You know what? I've seen a lot of fucking good actors at the Y, from the guy from The Longest Yard that was in L.A. Confidential, the warden of the jail, to Mark Ruffalo, to Denzel Washington works and plays hoop at the Y in Hollywood. A lot of fucking people go to the Y at lunchtime, man. A lot of parents, you know, and just even this North Hollywood Y. When you go in there, you see the kids, and they're dressed up, and they got kids karate, and they got so finger painting, and they watch the kids, and they fuck, you know. It just does something to you. And Madison... Listen, man, the first time I walked into a yoga class, are you fucking kidding me? I was paranoid to pieces, Lee. Scared shitless.
I can imagine.
And then I would go Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the Tuesday guy quit. And they brought a yoga teacher that was 60. And I would see the ladies that she'd bring in at 60, and I go, look at these women's bodies. There's a chick on Tuesday morning yoga that's got to be 66, 67. She walks to yoga. Like, if you drive in North Hollywood, like by Magnolia in the morning, she'll have her mat. She's a fucking... Her face is beautiful. But people never take care of themselves. You know, I knew 1,000 people when I was 15 that were 50. They didn't take care of themselves. They did nothing. In this society now, you have to. You guys are thinking, Joey, what the fuck? Are you some flaming fag bringing a yoga teacher on the fucking podcast? No, I'm giving you every opportunity. I love smoking dope, and I like fucking and sucking and getting my dick sucked. But to do all these things, you got to be alive. Your circulation's got to be good. You got, you know, you want to eat ass, you got to go to fucking yoga. And that's it. You want to eat ass, you got to go to fucking yoga. That's it. You got to get your shit together, man. And that's why we're here. When we're finished today, go to fucking Onnit.com. Get a rope. Get a fucking kettlebell. Get some fucking Alpha Brain. I used to take a little bit of Alpha Brain, a piece of banana bread, and I go to yoga. Stop it. Like a savage, I go in there. A savage. You're in fucking deep, deep, deep fucking thought. You understand me? Like a savage, dog. And you try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to fucking do it. Go to, did you ever see that Kickstarter plan with the Chinese guy that went to Vietnam? He was all fucked up. He was 400 pounds. He couldn't even, he did yoga. He lost 100 and something pounds from doing fucking yoga. I'm telling you. Yoga's just hard on you. It's you feel fucking strong. I stopped going because of the hours. My wife gets home at 5. I can't go from 6 to 7:30. My wife won't go. That used to be our date night. Tuesday nights was yoga together.
Yeah.
That was our big fucking thing together. We'd go to Madison. We'd go to Michelle. Try yoga. If you don't fucking like it, then I'm the bad guy. I got to give some shout-outs, cocksucker. Uh-huh. Andrew Peterson. Frank Berdini. I love you, cocksucker. Paul Higginson. Another bad motherfucker. Gatto Martinelli. Dan Pizzini. This guy's all over the place. He's like dog shit. I love him. Kelly Valdez, Charles Eshelman, and Mesquite Pool Service, you bad motherfucker. You understand me? Give me some music, Lee. How about that fucking... It's a beautiful day today. What the fuck? You got to get your shit together. We're bringing you yoga, reefer, Lee Syatt. What are you looking at me for? You want to smoke some more weed? That's what it is. That's what you're saying. Oh, shit. It's a beautiful motherfucking day. Devo style. Wiggle for Uncle Joey. Let me see. Put the camera on. Wiggle. This reefer is delicious. I got a blend in here. This is a kryptonite from... I'm still smoking that crypto from fucking Noho Organic. It's a beautiful world we live in. And I got some Skywalker from Divine. Don't forget... Friday, 4 to 8, Divine Wellness. Auntie fucking Dolores will be down there sampling edibles. Lee's going to be the guest star. He's going to be signing autographs to his new book. I'm a Jew and I love it. For you. Oh, Shilly. Want another hit, baby? For you.
Why not? I'm so you. High.
You got to be high. We're going to go for breakfast this morning. We got a steak and a fucking two pieces of toast. Bed! Let me see you blow the smoke, cocksucker. A lot of times you take those little Jew hits. Go ahead. All right. Yeah, baby. Look at you. You look like Bob Marley if he was Jewish. It's a beautiful world.
Little Jew hits. You motherfucker.
Where's the music?
Oh, it's right here.
For you. You can do whatever you want today, people. Nobody's watching you. This ain't communism. Get up. Get that fucking paper. Read a little bit. Get a line. I was going to have Danny B call in and give us his fucking package. Go to Danny B Wins. Motherfucker's been on fire with baseball lately. Even if you get two net picks from him for $1,000 apiece, you make $2,000 a fucking week. That's $8,000 a month after expenses. That's $6,200. You're going to send me 5 points because that's how I roll. Lee, drop the knowledge on these motherfuckers. Tell them what they're missing.
They're missing Hulu Plus. We're still brought to you by Hulu Plus. Go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. Lowercase Joey.
Lowercase, cocksuckers.
As you should know by now. And there's also a banner at JoeyDiaz.net. And we've told you about a lot of their TV shows, but they have a bunch of movies there, too. They have Pulp Fiction. They have a bunch of documentaries, which I love. They have something called Forks Over Knives, which is this great...
That's a good one.
...health eating documentary. They have... they have a bunch of stuff. They have, I'm trying to think, what the McDonald's documentary. Can't believe I'm forgetting it right now.
Get it together, Lee.
But then they have Revenge, they have South Park, they have Revolution.
They got Community, they got SNL, they got the Twilight fucking Zone from 1959 with Rod Sterling when he was still doing heroin with the Chinese people in the village. Listen, cut this shit. Go to HuluPlus.com, go to the box, Go to my webpage. Go to joeydiaz.net. Look at the t-shirts. Look at the fucking tour. And then what you do is you go to Hulu Plus and you typed in, what do they type in, Lee?
Joey.
Joey. Lowercase. Why cut this shit? If you like it, you get 2 free weeks. Who gives you anything for fucking free nowadays? 2 free fucking weeks. That's 80,000 things a day. You can sit there, smoke dope, watch the TV, and light yourself on fire. You're like, Joey, what do you mean TVs? Yeah, I know you've been watching on your PC or your fucking computer with Hulu.com. With Hulu Plus, we're going to take that motherfucking body into the living room. So you get your balls licked and your dick sucked while you're watching something on HuluPlus.com. That's how we fucking roll. You're going to get 2 weeks for free. Do they got porn, Lee?
No,
you don't need fucking porn. You're making your own porn in the goddamn living room. Go to Hulu Plus. Press in lowercase Joey. After 2 weeks, you like what Hulu Plus got to offer? It's $7.99 a month, correct, Lee?
That's correct.
$7.99 a month. $8 fucking. Where are you going to get that action for $8 fucking? You know how many movies? Yeah. Don't get me started, please, Lee.
And it's called Super Size Me.
And it's called Super Size Me with the dude with the fucking thing, and they found it. Anyway, it don't matter. They got a bunch of great movies on there. They got a bunch of TV shows. $8 a month after 2 weeks for free. So do what the fuck you need to do. Go to HuluPlus.com or go to JoeyDiaz.net. Go to the box, the Hulu Plus, and press Joey, lowercase. Get your fucking world started. You can't go out every night. You might as well stay home, eat some ice cream. You could do jumping jacks while you're watching something on HuluPlus.com, correct?
Absolutely.
Who the hell you think you're dealing with?
That's the best way to watch it.
Come on now. We ain't fucking around here. I'm not going to show up here with a bunch of things for you people to sit there and masturbate. If I'm bringing you something, it's a fucking good deal. Same thing with Onnit. Onnit, I don't fuck around when it comes to Onnit. Why would I? I'm on the strong bone. You don't see me limping. I'm on the strong bone. I'm on the new mood. I sleep like a fucking baby. And I got the alpha brain cooking again. That's why I'm on all cylinders today. You get that reefer with an alpha brain, you shoot a fucking alpha brain load and some chick, she'll walk around like a chicken without a fucking head. Go to fucking alpha brain. Go to Onnit. Go to the box. Press in church. Get your discount. Get your party started. Aubrey's in town this week. We're going to talk about what's going on with Onnit this week. We're going to go to lunch either this week or next week. And that's how we fucking do it, people. Who's better than us? Who's better than fucking you? It's a Wednesday morning. All right? You got your fucking shout-outs. You know what's cracking, right?
Right.
They know what's going on. I'm in Utah next week with the fucking Mormons. I'm going over there, Brigham Young, Steve White, and his fucking bullshit. I'm going to fucking Utah. You want to stop me? Pick me up at the fucking airport, you Mormon cocksuckers, because I don't give a fuck. I'm coming. I'm going to throw some fucking heat. Then the following week, I'm going to Lexington, Kentucky, to On Broadway, the 20th to the 23rd. I'm going to be rocking Kentucky. I don't give a fuck. Lexington, I love the Bible Belt. Bring the fucking Bible and the Christians. Bring a snake. I don't give a fuck. And then the following week, me and Lee are going up to San Jose. People already hitting us up where we're going to eat. I'm going to tell you where we're going to eat. We're going to Original Joe's, bitches. We're going to McCormick's and Schmidt's. Lee's paying. He's bringing the special Jew credit card with the picture of fucking... I don't even know. You got a picture of on there. Jesus with a fucking knife going through his head on it. I don't fucking know.
I got one question for you.
Go ahead, brother.
What do alpha brain loads taste like?
I don't fucking know. I don't taste those.
Yes,
things.
You do. You gave me shit. You gave me shit last night.
I didn't say I now. Said, I said when I was young, I whacked off and I tasted it just to see.
Yeah, but you called but me last
every
night.
Every once in a while, you got to taste it. That's what your problem is.
No,
if
you
it
don't.
Tastes like flowers, then you got to eat something different.
No, you said what does the kale juice taste like?
Sure, when you eat that juicing. You know, you gotta get it together, Lee. You're high. You always fuck
high.
With me when you're fucking high.
I
the
don't
Hulu
fuck with
Plus,
you
got me aggravated with Hulu Plus. I told you, just tell the fucking people what they need to know. The bottom line, $7.99, 2 weeks. I'm giving them a deal of a night, lifetime. You know what it cost them if they don't get it for $7.99?
Nothing.
Like $22 fucking. Oh. So, what are they kidding? And that's it. What do you want to talk about here? Take care of yourself. That's the fucking word of the week. Smoke some dope. Eat some oatmeal. Get a fucking apple. Bring an apple for the teacher. They just don't get money no more and anything. What do we got going on next week? We got 2 podcasts. I don't even know.
Yeah, Jesus. No, that's it. We got 2 podcasts. We still have Testicle Testaments up. We have the t-shirts, which people always show me, and they're fucking awesome. So go check those out. I don't know, man. That's it. That's all I can think of.
I love that lady today that called. Just
she sounds
her voice
great.
Made
yeah.
me in a good fucking mood. She's such a sweetheart. I didn't know that she was going through those type of situations. But you know what, man? Sometimes you break up with a fucking mope and makes you better.
Yeah.
These fucking idiots out here see a blonde with big tits and they go crazy. And they got a chick that's good at home that sucks your pipe, makes a good fucking beef stew, and they want to get hit with some blonde with fake tits. What the fuck is wrong with you? Get it together.
Get it together, man. Jesus, how do you... I can't even imagine what's going on right now.
What's going on what?
With you. You've been...
What? What? What's going on where?
18 joints by yourself.
So what? That's what you're supposed to do here. That's what the church... What's happening? What do you think? What am I going to do here? And drink fucking carrot juice and put cucumbers in my eyes? What are you looking at?
Yeah,
man?
Nothing.
What are you looking out the window for? You're making me
I'm not looking out the window.
Like a fucking coke fiend or something like that. What the fuck are you looking out that window for?
I'm not looking out the window.
You set me up with the Russians?
Well, who's the Russians? Oh, am I setting you up with them? Yeah, absolutely I am.
I gotta get out of here. You people have a great fucking week. I love you very much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us love on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you for giving Hulu love. Thank you for giving Onnit love and taking care of yourself. That's about... We're gonna take this fucking podcast to Jupiter. We're going straight to the top with this motherfucker. But I need you people. You follow what I'm saying? You people make the whole fucking week go by. Stay black. I love you. Hit me with the Eagles again. The second part.
Oh, I got Fleetwood Mac ready. All right.
Hit me with Fleetwood Mac.
All right. But quickly, now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus and start watching your favorite hit shows right now. Go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner for your extended free trial, or go to huluplus.com/joey. Again, click on the Hulu Plus banner at joeydiaz.net or go to huluplus.com/joey.